Welcome to DevOps Dimension Episode 2. I am very fortunate to be joined today by Rob and Courtney from Nordstrom. Welcome to the DevOps Dimension Show.
Thank you.
Yeah, so both of you have watched, you know, delivered a number of presentations. I know you at Chef and you've done the DevOps Enterprise the past couple, the two of them that exist,
yes.
Right? So a lot of great information on DevOps and how Nordstrom is doing things. And so I would love to have kind of just the rough theme of today of organizational change. So there's a lot of stuff that's involved here. I'd love to learn a little more from you too on that space. So assuming that our audience out here is like a lot of enterprises, a siloed organization, where I know you, Nordstrom was at one point, and moving that to kind of the more modern DevOps kind of mode, assuming that you have kind of that why behind DevOps, which is extremely important, so you know kind of the business value, why are you gonna move to this whole thing, because it's a lot of work. Where do people start from that kind of team formation side of things?
Right.
Yeah.
Do you wanna start?
Sure. So we started with, we didn't even know kind of what we didn't know what we knew or what we didn't know, right? So. We knew that we wanted to speed up how we deliver value to the website, and we knew that we were going to have to do it very different. So we put together a kind of a team off to the side that wasn't invested in the day-to-day to really experiment and demonstrate practices like continuous delivery, infrastructure as code, and give them the space to figure that out, and every week show that to the rest of technology and really evangelize it. So that's where we started to get people excited about it. It didn't take in the team we were targeting. However, the weekly demos got people pretty excited and really, so JB's mobile team at Nordstrom really gravitated to it and said, hey, we want this. And they dug in and did it.
Okay. Yeah, and my initial exposure was actually through Rob's team that was getting dedicated to kind of creating this capability in our environment. And then I had exposure to JB moving into our customer mobile team. And it really started with him understanding what would it take to deliver value faster to the customer. And he took the time to really dig in and understand how work was getting done within the team that he basically inherited the team. Mm-hmm. Kind of as is, you mentioned silos, mm-hmm. It was very siloed. And he just took a step back and said, this is not okay. Like our digital landscape has to be the fastest like capability that we have. Mm-hmm. And at the time our mobile team was not delivering very fast. And he really dug in mm-hmm. and created the ability for the team to see that the value was not getting delivered at the speed that we wanted it to, and then demonstrated where we needed to make organizational change, mm-hmm. where we needed to, you know, adopt new mindsets and capabilities mm-hmm. in order to actually get to that end state mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. optimizing for speed.
Okay, so yeah. So how did you, I mean, the mobile team just was like, yes, we want it, which is one way that things can go.
Yes.
But it sounds like in the first case, I mean, how did you determine which application to pick, and how did you get those people pulled into that team?
So in the very beginning, we were not extremely scientific about it. We didn't know things like value stream mapping from lean or anything, so we kind of just did what we always did, and we're like, well, we think that is a meaty enough problem to attack, but not so complicated that if we fail, it's going to kind of bring everything crashing down. So, and we could carve it off, maybe. And then we got a few people that mostly were the ones kind of almost complaining the most about the current state of things. And so we knew that there was some curiosity there. And the teams were kind of okay with letting them go because
okay.
they were complaining the most.
Okay. Okay, yeah.
And we brought them in and really, you know, set some expectations. You know, your time box to 6 months and you're ready to go. You know, we have to demonstrate this capability at the end of that. But it was really unscientific, focused on what we thought we could do without mm-hmm. jeopardizing everything, and what we thought had a lot of value. But we didn't take into account were we really solving the right problem with in this particular case, and where were they kind of on the innovation adoption mm-hmm. curve? Like, were they going to be early adopters to really take this on?
Okay, so it sounds like there was lessons learned, at least from the first team formation. Yep. So what would you do differently, or what do you do now as you perhaps form DevOps-type yep. teams? Yeah,
we're a lot better about in areas of figuring out which problems we're trying to solve.
Mm-hmm. So we also created this assessment tool. So we look at the dimensions of a team dynamic and we plot it on a chart. We have the leader of the team self-assess and then mm-hmm. we do an independent assessment.
Okay.
And then we compare the results and then we have a conversation about if we're severely disconnected, why? Mm-hmm. And then if they're in a spot where they can actually take this on, then mm-hmm. we move forward with the workshop. Whereas okay. before we were kind of doing a, if you're interested, we'll train you, we'll do your value stream map, mm-hmm. we'll help you mm-hmm. adapt to this. And it didn't always stick.
Okay.
So we started learning why. Like, why are these teams not sustaining it? And then we took those dimensions and used them for this assessment tool. So now we can really take on the teams that are going to be ready, or at least okay. are the most set up to be ready.
So I'd love to know more. Yeah. What is this survey that you have and what kinds of things do you ask and dig into?
So we look at the return on investment. So is this really a space where delivering value faster is the best decision for the company? We look at the leader's capabilities. You know, we talk about JB a lot. Mm-hmm. JB's a demonstrated leader in mm-hmm. lean. Mm-hmm. We have leaders who are very interested, but they don't have the capabilities mm-hmm. yet. Is the team in a position where they're delivering to a big C customer or a little C customer? Mm-hmm. What is the dynamic of the team itself? Have we already made the progress towards bringing all the right people into involved. The team?
Okay.
We look at, you know, other dynamics around, you know, where they're at kind of on the whole journey. Do they have the space? So a lot of teams want to do it, but they actually don't have the capacity to take it on.
Yep.
So their appetite's huge, but then when we actually get into it, they don't actually have the ability to sustain it because
their whip limits are extremely high.
Yes.
They're fighting fires all the
Absolutely.
time, right?
And so, you know, what is that?
Yeah.
And so we plot it on all those dimensions and then come up with a score and then basically decide, are they really ready or not? And it helps us prioritize our backlog from a continuous improvement team perspective so that we make sure we're focusing on the highest value first.
What are some maybe practical tips you could give for folks who want to do this, you know, and I'm just thinking about the teams who come to you and then you realize they're not ready. Obviously, high, you know, work in progress is a pretty obvious one that has to be there. You know, team structure thing is one, but what are some maybe some practical tips they can do to get to where you deem ready to kind of move forward?
Yeah. I think another component is how engaged are their leaders and their business partners?
Okay.
So can you really get all the people to commit to uh-huh. the actual workshop okay. and the value stream exercise?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's one thing to say, we want to do it, we want to be better, mm-hmm. but then when we put it into actual real terms, like we will sit down with the leaders who need to commit, and it's almost like a formal ceremony. Like, this is what it's going to look like. You're going to need to free up this amount of time for yourself. You're going to need to free up this amount of time for your team. It's not a one and done. You don't do the workshop and then you're done. You have to sustain it.
Mm-hmm.
And we all do like an official, like everybody looks everybody in the eye and says, am I in this?
Okay.
And it really helps set that tone of, this isn't just a training class that you're going to take and then go back to doing your work the way
the
you do it now.
Way. We went through the workshop and we're now DevOps.
Yeah.
It's like,
no, not
so much. No.
Exactly. Yeah. And then when we assign a continuous improvement person to that team,
mm-hmm.
they actually stay engaged until they feel like the team is sustained. And if not, we have a leadership meeting to talk mm-hmm. about what's not working and then adjust if needed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Yep. Yeah. So I know one of the things that you mentioned in your chef talk is about the kind of perf engine and then the dedicated teams. How would you say that whole dynamic fits into this mix?
Yeah. So when you're about to embark on this change, there's tension with the way we do things. And that tension is a good thing, although it doesn't always feel that way when you're kind of in the middle of it. And that tension is, you know, we still have customers to serve. Like Courtney talked about big C, little C customer. Big C customer is like those in our store or online. Mm-hmm. We still have to serve them, and we don't want to disrupt that experience. So there's tension, because when you're trying new things, you might break things. So that's that performance engine that you need to recognize. Like it's been created to serve a purpose, and you're in business and you're serving customers, so and it's been successful, and you need to kind of recognize and honor that. And then how do you adapt that performance engine? How do you show that performance engine that your new thing that you want to do is not going to jeopardize that customer experience, and in fact is going to improve it?
Okay. So what are some practical ways to not have that happen, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, in a large organization, generally if you get the leadership support, you can carve off some people and give them the time and space to experiment and prove it out. If they are successful proving it out and demonstrating it, you can approach it a couple ways. One is start to grow that team, so you shrink the performance engine and move those people over to the new way, mm-hmm. and grow that. Or inject, you know, your experiment into the mm-hmm. performance engine in various parts and have them kind of help the engine along.
So when you form that dedicated team, do you tend to have that as a piece, a new piece of the performance engine? Is it something totally different?
Yep.
Or how does that relate to
as
when you start there?
I think it probably depends on
depends.
The...
Well,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah. Depends, so it totally depends. And the way we took it was we were taking a copy of an existing piece. And the idea was to show it and then put it back into the performance engine.
Okay.
You know, JB's mobile team example is probably, we demonstrated it and then embedded people into his team to help them really get up to speed. And then those people came back out and helped out other teams. So that's been pretty successful for us.
Okay. So how about like, you've obviously got different teams now inside of Nordstrom's that are kind of on this journey. How about the start? You know, the you said you do a workshop. What is that like, and what does that kind of help them prepare to do?
Yeah. So whenever we kick off a workshop, you know, we start with what are we going to map? Because value can be described in many different ways. So we land on what is meaningful to actually map, who needs to be involved, mm-hmm. because one of our failures that we've had is when we don't engage all of the appropriate people. Because mm-hmm. you can't have someone representing someone else's piece of the value stream. It's
right.
like, it's gotta be the person doing the work.
Yep.
So defining what value is in that context, engaging all the right people, getting the leadership support. We always say we need a value stream sponsor and we need a value stream owner. Mm-hmm. So we need somebody who's gonna keep the momentum after the fact. And then when the teams commit to participating, you can't opt out, because we've had that situation where we bring people together and then somebody gets pulled out for a production issue. And then you either somebody tries to speak on behalf of them or it just falls apart.
Yeah.
We also have to coach our leaders on, you're not there to represent the work for your team because you don't do it. Mm-hmm. I sat in a workshop where a leader was like, no, that's not how it works. It works like this. And someone on his team was sitting in a chair shaking her head. And I said, you've got somebody right here who actually does that. Let's let them. And the leader, to his credit, checked himself. He's like, oh my gosh, you're right. I don't do this job. And then the person who does the job got up and did it. So there's a lot of leader coaching around, you gotta honor reality, you have to let the team speak for the work, you gotta be a coach and a teacher and not prescribe solutions, and figure out like how do we set it up in a way where we'll get the most out of the workshop itself. And then we customize it. You know, we don't do a one size fits all. It's like depending on the dynamic of the team and the value stream map we're gonna do, and where they landed on the maturity assessment, mm-hmm. we'll customize the workshop so that we don't waste people's time, because we don't want to end up in a scenario where we're overtraining.
Yeah, you spend a week and everybody's like, no.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, I gotcha. So how about you know, you mentioned an interesting point of this continuous improvement person dedicated mm-hmm. to the team. Mm-hmm. Tell me more about that person. Have they gone and seen successful improvements? Is there like a pool of these? Is there like a couple of people doing this kind of thing? Or how does that usually work?
It's a very small team.
Okay.
They used to be a shared service that was outside of the delivery organization. Mm-hmm. And they struggled because they would come in and they would try to train teams. And a lot of the teams were a little bit resistant because they weren't credible, because they weren't close to the work. So we actually moved them into an they're in my organization, but they're close to the teams that actually deliver the value. Mm-hmm. So they see it day to day. And it changed the tone of the training, because now they don't feel like they're just coming in as an outside party. They feel like they're connected to the teams.
So they kind of were there before they do this value stream map exercise. They've kind of sat with the team, understood how things work mm-hmm. themselves across the different people, and then they can help maybe ensure the right people are in the room and help guide the workshop.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. And there's this sense of accountability and ownership, because mm-hmm. they ultimately are supported by me. Mm-hmm. I also support the teams going through the exercise. Okay. So there's a dual hat that I'm wearing, which can be good and bad, because mm-hmm. on one hand, I'm passionate about the continuous improvement capability, mm-hmm. but I'm also accountable on the delivery side. So mm-hmm. one of the key success factors is you gotta create space. Mm-hmm. When JB moved into mobile, there was a really important aspect of that where we said, you have the air cover to make decisions. So when you see something, you have the support. So having the ability to be able to say that, like, I'm going to free these teams up so they can actually do the exercise, is good. Because then we can get in a mode where, as a sponsor, I can say it's important. And then if it's important, then the teams tend to show up if there's value.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Okay. What about, you know, you have these different teams now inside of Nordstrom that are operating in this new kind of mode. How do you help spread the knowledge and spread the DevOps around the organization and those learnings?
So we have a couple programs, right? Don't you feel like the Trailblazer and the CI Accelerator are kind of two places where we've said, we've got to create this, you know, momentum across the enterprise. And so we have, it's funny, because our Trailblazer program started as, not to embarrass Rob, the deconstruction of Rob Cummings.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Were you the Brent?
Yeah. Yes. It was like, who is the example?
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And so, it's true.
Truth comes out.
It is true. Right. So I'm like, what are the attributes of Rob that we want to have throughout the organization? Yeah. And then we created a program where we bring people in. They actually apply for it, and then we teach them design thinking, we teach them lean, we teach them change agent type, you know, communication, and now I think we're on our sixth cohort.
Yep.
And then we created a continuous improvement accelerator program, which is also a targeted program to get people excited about this and practicing it within their team, so then they can teach it as well.
Yep. And then we just started a 21st century leadership program, so more targeted at leaders, whereas Trailblazers is a little bit more towards individual contributors. So it's been awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds great. How about do you notice there's kind of patterns, like? Because you start to have all these teams, and they all might start doing things like CI, CD, or certain DevOps practices, and they're all doing them potentially in their own ways. Is there any learnings there on maybe like sharing practices or things amongst different teams?
Yeah. So when we started with a culture of empowerment, and we just needed people to start trying, and we didn't really kind of know where we were going to end up. And so we had teams trying to do it in different ways with different tools and experimenting. We're now kind of looking across our org and saying, okay, we have a pretty good idea of the patterns that are being successful. And there's a lot of tools, but there's starting to be some patterns even with the tool choices that they're using. Let's try to figure out how do we make it so a new team that wants to, you know, try DevOps, try this model, doesn't have to kind of start from scratch or mm-hmm. try to figure out which team they want to copy from.
Yeah.
Let's give them a more kind of standardized way to do that.
Yeah.
And that's where we're starting head down.
Yeah. And I think we always have to balance the mm-hmm. like purist approach yeah. to the yeah. spirit of the right. practice. And it's hard. I mean, I'll have people on my team who are very skilled in lean say, well, they're not really doing it right. And mm-hmm. I said, okay, well, but is the spirit of the practice there? Let's mm-hmm. focus on that and then let's help. If it's mm-hmm. not going to create a problem, mm-hmm. then let's embrace that somebody's excited mm-hmm. and then let's help them with, you know, you mentioned it's like the scaffolding, like yeah. here's a way you can think about that problem mm-hmm. instead of going in and saying you're not yeah. using the exact terminology mm-hmm. that we expect you to be using.
Right.
It's like, let's actually look at the behaviors and the mm-hmm. spirit of it and figure out a way to encourage that mm-hmm. and then focus on the places yeah. where actually the standardization would help them go faster. And then educate versus like being super prescriptive.
Right.
Yeah.
So I mean, maybe like, I mean, I guess if there's teams that say you've got 2-3 template choices that have been kind of proven themselves out of suites of scaffolding or whatever you want to call it, is there maybe a desire to like consolidate to have like, okay, this template, we have 3 teams on that one or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a growing desire to do that.
Okay.
And I we'll probably head down that path. The challenge there is, while you want to be a little prescriptive and have some standardization so you can go very, very fast, you need a mechanism to ensure that that standard is still valid. So you need, you do need the ability for people to step outside of that standard and take on the accountability of doing that, but be able to kind of poke at it and say, hey, look, I did this other thing and it's this much better, just to ensure that standard is still relevant.
So it's almost like a reevaluation of that scaffolding periodically to make sure that it's still the best, greatest thing for those teams that are using that.
Yeah, and allow the practitioner to do that evaluation, not some kind of standard org.
Right.
It's like a version of PDCA.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Land you check act.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. I'll throw out my acronym.
All good. So, all right, let's final kind of tips. I mean, what would you just, you know, a number of things you just want to give to our audience out there on anything really related to this journey that they might be on?
Start.
Yeah.
You?
Oh, I'm starting.
Yeah.
Okay. Have courage to go through with it. Mm-hmm. Both from the kind of individual contributor and the leadership, that's kind of the key thing. It gets, you'll have ups and downs, and you need to work through the downs. The up on the other side is worth it.
Yes, I know. I'm glad you said that, because I think the be persistent, and then also I have my drumbeat around the leader's evolution in this, around honoring reality, understanding the work your team is doing and not micromanaging it, but actually being a teacher and a coach and really understanding how you can be supportive in this new context and unblock the team and let them own the destiny instead of doing our traditional leadership behavior of, you know, this is how you should do it.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you both very much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.